Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. What is faith? Here's how one famous atheist answered that question. Richard Dawkins said, "Faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. Faith is belief in spite of, even perhaps because of, the lack of evidence." That's how the world views faith. But anytime we hear the wisdom of the world, we need to ask the same question. What does the Bible say? And when you want to know what the Bible says about faith, you can't do much better than to turn first to Hebrews chapter 11. Lenski said that Hebrews chapter 11 is one of the grand chapters of the Bible, a gallery of notable portraits of ancient great believers, each drawn with a master hand. What can we learn about faith from this famous roll call of faith in Hebrews chapter 11? Well, first, we can learn from Hebrews 11 that faith rightly considers the future. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." There's a debate as to whether the word faith in verse 1 is being used subjectively or objectively. Why do I believe that God exists? Why do I believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Well, the answer is faith. Look at verse 3, for example. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." But is that faith subjective or objective? If my faith depends only on what I personally believe, then it's a subjective faith. But if my faith is based on something external to me, something that not only I can see, but anyone can see, then my faith is objective. In verse 1, faith is called the substance of things hoped for. That word substance in the Greek confirms to us that this faith is objective, objective. The Greek word translated substance was used by the philosophers of that day to distinguish reality from appearance. But more importantly, that same Greek word was used by the ordinary people of that day to refer to a title deed for a piece of property. The deed for a piece of property. That's what that Greek word that's translated substance there meant. You know, I believe I own my car. But is that belief subjective or objective? Well, if I have my car title, then that belief becomes objective because I can point to something. I have something I can show to you to show that that belief in ownership is not just subjective, but it's objective. I have a title to that car. And that's precisely what's meant here by faith. Faith is the substance. Faith is the reality. Faith is the title deed that backs up what I believe and leads me to act in response to what I believe. And isn't that what we would expect, having read Hebrews 11? Can anyone read Hebrews 11 and think that the faith that's involved here is just some kind of a momentary whim? Can anyone read Hebrews 11 and conclude that there's no substance to this faith, no reality to this faith that's described here? Would the great heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 have suffered what they suffered and endured what they endured just for some impulsive, emotional sentiment without any substance? The examples of faith in Hebrews 11 did not just live for the moment. Instead, they lived by faith. Habakkuk 2 verse 4, which is then quoted in Romans 1:17, quoted again in Galatians 3:11, quoted again in Hebrews 10:38. "The just shall live by faith." They understood from their faith that there was far more to this life than just their immediate physical surroundings. They knew with complete certainty that there were better things ahead. Look at verse 10 there in chapter 11. "For he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Look at verses 25 and 26 about Moses. choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. They knew with certainty that better things were ahead. Why did Abraham look for that city? Why did Moses look for that reward? Because of faith. Because of faith. Substance. Reality. And that faith caused them to act as if that future state of affairs was already here. That's how certain they were of it. As certain as if it had already happened. Faith is not just some wistful longing for something. Faith is an absolute and utter conviction that something is real and certain. Faith is the substance. Faith is the reality. It is faith that causes us to trust in God over what the world is telling us. It is faith that causes us to trust our spiritual eyesight more than our physical eyesight. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's spiritual eyesight. Look at verse 27 in Hebrews 11. By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's seeing the unseen. That's the eyes of faith. When we studied the book of Revelation, we saw that a central theme of that book is that things are not always what they seem. To some observers, it may have seemed that Pilate had the upper hand over Christ, or that the Emperor Nero had the upper hand over Paul. But we know the opposite was true. Why? Because we see those events through our spiritual glasses, through the Word of God. As someone once wisely noted, Nero once condemned Paul. But as the years have passed on and on, the time has come where men name their sons Paul and name their dogs Nero. I love that. The second thing Hebrews 11 teaches us is that faith rightly considers the present. Not just the future, but the present. The second half of verse 1 says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. The Greek word translated evidence there means a conviction that is lively, that is active. It's the living certainty that causes us to stretch out our hand and lay hold of the promises of God, the unseen realities on which our hope is fixed. We can reach out and touch it because of faith. Well, what are those unseen realities? Well, yes, they do include our future unseen blessings, but they also include our present unseen spiritual blessings that we enjoy in Christ, in the church of Christ. Yes, we're pilgrims of faith, but it's wrong to suggest that the Christian should have no concern for this present world because we're just a pilgrim passing through. We are a pilgrim passing through, but we need to be vitally concerned with this world because we have a great commission from Christ to go out into this world and spread His gospel and be actively engaged in this world. In fact, we're waging an unseen spiritual war in this world. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. We walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a spiritual war. That's a spiritual battle that we're engaged in right here and right now. How do we know we're engaged in that battle? How do we fight that battle? Faith. Through faith. That's how we overcome. Far from being disengaged from this world, a Christian is more engaged with this world than anybody else. Why? Because only the Christian is able to see this world as it really is. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The faithless walk only by sight, physical sight. They accept only what they can see. If an opportunity for some sensual pleasure or some monetary gain comes along, they take it. They grab it. They go for the gusto, as the beer commercial says. Why? Because they can see it. They can see it with their physical eyes. It's all that matters to them. They're not walking by faith. They're walking by sight. The faithless ask, well, why should I refuse this pleasure, this momentary pleasure, for some uncertain future that I don't know will be here or not? Why don't I just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die? But that's where their argument falls flat, because the future is not uncertain. The future is certain because God has told us what's going to happen, and that makes it certain. And how do we know that reality? How do we know that substance? How do we put our hands on that? Faith. Faith. Third thing we learn from Hebrews 11 is that faith rightly considers the Word of God. Faith is not just hearing the Word of God and then agreeing with it. Faith is hearing the Word of God and acting upon it. There's no such thing as an inactive faith. We see that right here in Hebrews 11. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered. Verse 7, by faith Noah prepared. By verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed. Verse 24, by faith Moses refused. Faith always acts. James tells us the same thing in James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not worked, is dead. Being alone. I like what one commentary said about the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. Their faith consisted simply in taking God at His word and directing their lives accordingly. Things yet future, as far as their experience went, were thus present to faith. And things outwardly unseen were visible to the inward eye. What makes future things present? What makes invisible things visible? Faith. Faith. The examples of faith in Hebrews 11 refused what the world called greatness. And instead, they staked everything on God and on the Word of God and on the promises of God. They staked everything on that. And you know what? They were right. Their names are right here in the great roll call of faith. And the good news? The good news is that although Hebrews 11 is complete, God's roll call of faith is not yet complete. There's room on that great roll call for you to be added if you're not already on that great list in heaven. But remember, faith is not just something that goes on between our ears. That's not faith. Faith always acts. And faith without works is dead. Yes, our works will not save us, but neither will a dead faith save us. The faith that saves is the faith that we see right here in Hebrews 11. And that faith responds with action when Jesus commands us to be baptized for the remission of our sins. That watery grave of baptism is the dividing line between spiritual death and spiritual life. And if you've never stepped in faith across that line and been raised from those waters of baptism, a new creature in Christ, then now is the time for salvation. Please come while we stand and while we sing.